If we take the Bible literally, we see that it is God who has brought the nation of Israel back to the promised land in these last days. He kept them together as a people for centuries. And then, at just the right time to accomplish what he had declared through the prophets, after 19 centuries of exile, he brought the Jewish people back to the land of Israel. But this accomplishment has not been without opposition, of course. What is commonly called the Middle East conflict is in fact the demonically inspired violent opposition to what God is doing to restore the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob back to the land he promised them. And this conflict plays large in our news every day. If we are, in fact, living in the last days, as evidenced primarily by the nation of Israel coming back to their land in preparation for the return of the Messiah, if we are, in fact, living in the last days, and these events were predicted by the prophets of Scripture, then we would certainly expect to see a great deal regarding the forces and the entities that are trying to oppose what God is doing in Israel. They're violent enemies. And that is exactly the case. So where does the Bible talk about these things? Well, first, before we consider that, let's take a look at the events of recent years. If we're attuned to events that have been happening in recent years, we can see that a dramatic shift in world events has happened in the last 4 or so years. On September 11, 2001, after the attacks at the World Trade Center, I immediately sensed that this would have a dramatic impact on the outcomes regarding Israel, especially in reference to Bible prophecy. On that day, I wrote in an article, quote, "The Islamic extremists are going to find that instead of a population largely indifferent to terrorist attacks in other places, the American public will react with resolve and action in opposition to terrorism. The positive outcome of this tragedy is that in the common cause of combating Islamic terrorism, American opinion will swing strongly in support for Israel's efforts." Unquote. Since then, we have seen the inauguration of what is misnamed the War on Terror. It should be more aptly named the War on Militant Islamic Violent Ideology. And what is at the center of that ideology? Of course, their ultimate objective is world domination of Islam, that every nation in the world becomes an Islamic state under Sharia law. But in practical terms, what are the issues that unite the radical Muslims? It is hatred of Jews, hatred of Israel, the desire to eliminate the Jewish state, to throw all the Jews out of Israel and create an Islamic state called Palestine. And the focal point of this, of course, from a Muslim theology viewpoint, is the Al-Aqsa Mosque, which is up on the Temple Mount. It is considered in Muslim theology to be the third most holy place in Islam, after Mecca and Medina. But Mecca and Medina are not in contention. They've been in control of the Muslims since the time of Muhammad. It is the fight for Jerusalem, and more specifically for the Temple Mount, which is the central rallying point for radical Muslims everywhere. It is very critical that we understand this from a prophetic and biblical and spiritual perspective. It is very critical that we understand this because the conflict over Jerusalem and over the Temple Mount features very prominently in the Bible prophecies regarding this entity, this group of violent, demon-inspired haters of Israel. So once we understand what the central features of this conflict are, this end times conflict regarding Israel, we can see who the players are and what they're called in the Bible. And once we've identified all these parties without any doubt, I think you will agree with me that what we call the War on Terror has actually been prophesied in the Bible. So how do I identify in the prophetic scriptures who it is that God is talking about that is demonstrating such hatred and violence toward Israel in the last days. While we look for the characteristics, of course, we look for the specific descriptions, and based upon this, it is my contention that the group of people called Edom in the scriptures, Edom, represent the Islamic radical terrorists in the last days who are opposed to Israel. First, we need a little introduction to who Edom is. Edom was a nickname for Esau. We get this from Genesis 36, verse 1. This is the account of Esau, that is Edom. And then down in verse 8 and 9. So Esau, that is Edom, settled in the hill country of Seir. This geographically is the area in southern Jordan today, south of the Dead Sea, north of the Gulf of Aqaba. Now Esau, of course, was Jacob's twin brother. Esau was the oldest one, and when Rebekah was pregnant, it says in Genesis 25, starting at verse 22, the babies jostled each other within her, or they struggled together, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. The Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." So Esau was born first. He was the older one, and Jacob was the second. Now, normally, the older child got the blessing and the birthright, but we know in the Bible what happened, that Esau forfeited his birthright. Jacob was the one that received the birthright and the blessing because God had foretold that it would happen that way. The reason for this, of course, was that because the covenant of promise to Abraham was to go through Isaac and Jacob. Jacob was later named Israel. So from the very beginning, we have Jacob, renamed Israel, and we have his twin brother, Esau, also named Edom, who is in contention with him, who is opposing him. In fact, the prophet Malachi, the last book of the Tanakh, the Old Testament, in chapter 1, says the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi, "I have loved you, says the Lord, but you asked, how have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother?" The Lord says, "Yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated." But for the purposes of our study, it's important to note that Esau and Edom and Seir, S-E-I-R, are synonymous. And Edom, as well as Seir, Mount Seir, are symbolic of parties that are in opposition to Israel in the last days, not just in ancient times, but in modern times as well. And we can conclusively prove this in Obadiah and other places as well. Now first we will go to the book of Ezekiel. In chapters 35 and 36, in an extended section that deals with end times events, we see the conflict described over the land that is today called the West Bank, the land where the world wants to start a Palestinian state, wants to establish a Palestinian state, what the Bible calls Judea and Samaria, but in this particular prophecies, the Bible calls this land the Mountains of Israel. And we can see on a topographic map that this area called the West Bank, which was in Jordan's control from 1948 to 1967, until Israel recaptured it in the Six-Day War, this land where the world wants to create a Palestinian state is the mountainous area. And the Bible calls this the Mountains of Israel. And Ezekiel chapter 36, in particular the first 15 verses, describe the conflict over this land and the resolution. But for our purposes, we are going to look specifically at verse 5. Verse 5 says in Ezekiel 36, "This is what the Sovereign Lord says, 'In my burning zeal I have spoken against the rest of the nations and against all Edom. For with glee and with malice in their hearts, they made my land their own possession so that they may plunder its pasture land.'" And we don't have time now to go into the specifics of this whole chapter, but there's an article on my website called "They Arrogated My Land," and it deals with these 15 verses in quite detail. But for now, what we want to do is identify who Edom is. Okay, so we have the rest of the nations here that God is speaking in his burning anger, in the fire of his jealousy. He's speaking against the rest of the nations and against all Edom. So we have two parties here, the nations who are working together with the group of people that are trying to steal the land, and that is symbolically identified here as Edom. This corresponds with what we see in chapter 35 as well. Chapter 35 is a prophecy against Mount Seir. Now remember that Mount Seir is geographically where Esau settled, but in this case, Mount Seir is symbolic of something else. But first, before we talk about what it's symbolic of, we can see in verses 10 through 12 why God is angry with Edom and Mount Seir. Because in verse 10, they're trying to take possession of the land that God had promised Israel, even though I was there, the Lord says. Verse 11, therefore, surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will treat you in accordance with the anger and jealousy you showed in your hatred of them, and I will make myself known among them when I judge you. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have heard all the contemptible things you have said against the mountains of Israel. You said, they have been laid waste and have been given over to us to devour. You boasted against me and spoke against me without restraint, and I heard it. What we see here is a violent group of people who are speaking against the mountains of Israel. Okay, the mountains of Israel being the West Bank. And so this corresponds to what we saw in chapter 36. Chapter 35 and 36 go together. Chapter 35 describes God's judgment upon the group of people, Edom, who are trying to steal that land. Chapter 36 describes what God is going to do to restore that land to Israel. This leads us to the book of Obadiah, which is also a prophecy against Edom. And we don't have time, once again, to go in detail to the entire book, but there is an article on my website, trumpetsounds.com, that is a commentary on the book of Obadiah. But for the purposes of what we're talking about right now, we're going to focus on a few different specific things from the book of Obadiah. First of all, the focus on the Temple Mount. Remember, we said that the thing that unifies the Islamic terrorists is hatred of Israel. In fact, Osama bin Laden said before, 3 weeks before 9/11, that the reason he was going to attack America was because of their support of Israel, and specifically to what he's called Liberate Al-Aqsa, meaning the Al-Aqsa Mosque on the Temple Mount. And in this book of Obadiah, which is a prophecy against Edom, verse 15, it says, the day of the Lord is near for all nations. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your deeds will return upon your own head. Just as you drank on my holy hill, so all the nations will drink and drink continually. They will drink and drink and be as if they had never been. But on Mount Zion it will be deliverance. It will be holy, and the house of Jacob will possess its inheritance. In verse 16, where he says, my holy hill, that's the Temple Mount. My holy mountain is the place where the first and second temple stood, and ultimately the temple where the Messiah, Yeshua, will reign. This is where the temple will stand one day as well, according to Bible prophecy. But what God is saying here, apparently, in the book of Obadiah talks about a violent group of people who hate Israel and want to destroy them. And he says, as you drank on my holy hill. We could put this in modern terms and say, you partied on my holy place. You celebrated in my holy place. So to paraphrase what he's saying in the rest of the verse, you partied on my holy place. I'm going to have a party when I pour out my cup of wrath on you, the wine of God's wrath upon you, and the nations will be as they had never been. So to understand this, we have to look historically at what has happened on the Temple Mount. Shortly after the time of Muhammad, not many years after that, the two structures that dominate the Temple Mount today, the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Dome of the Rock, were built there. For 1,400 years, those structures have dominated God's holy hill. And every Friday during the mosque sermons, the most hateful, vile invective against Israel and against the God of Israel is spewed out of the mouth of the mosque speakers, of the imams. Now remember that Ezekiel 35 was a prophecy against Mount Seir. And here at the end of the book of Obadiah, we see a prophecy against something called Mount Esau. This is not talking about the geographic mountain over in southern Jordan. This has a greater significance. This has a spiritual, symbolic significance, Mount Esau and Mount Seir. The last verse of Obadiah says, "And liberators shall ascend Mount Zion to judge Mount Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's." This is very important to understand this. Mount Zion is the Temple Mount, the place where God said his name would dwell forever. But for 1400 years, something else has been up on the Temple Mount. Offensive structures that are dedicated to a false god, Allah, and to the violent religion, Islam, which motivates the people who want to destroy Israel. But according to Obadiah 1:21, it says, "Liberators shall ascend Mount Zion." Whoever these liberators are going to go up on the Temple Mount to judge or to wreak havoc on Mount Esau. Now, I believe what this is saying is that Mount Esau here is symbolic of the Islamic structures that are up on the Temple Mount. And this corresponds very closely to what we saw earlier in Ezekiel 35 and 36, that Edom and Seir and Esau symbolically represent the Islamic terrorists who want to destroy Israel. They are obsessed with the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque. And if we look a little deeper for the spiritual implications behind that, it's because their false god, the demonically inspired so-called God of Allah, is fighting against the intentions of the true God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So as the Spirit of God has been gradually increasing my understanding regarding these scriptures, specifically regarding Esau and Edom, I've been giving some thought and comparing it to what's been happening in the world in the last few years. As we said earlier, the most dramatic outcome after 9/11 has been the war on terror. So with this understanding, I was reading Obadiah once again, Obadiah being a prophecy against Edom, and we've identified who Edom is. At the very beginning of the book, it says, "An envoy was sent to the nations to say, 'Rise and let us go up against her for battle. See, I will make you small among the nations. You will be utterly despised.'" So if Edom represents the radical Islamist campaign to eliminate Israel, then what we're seeing here in verse 2 and 3, I believe, is a prophecy about the war on terror. An envoy was sent to the nations to say, "Rise and let us go against her for battle." Verse 1 says this is a report from the Lord. We have heard a report from the Lord that an envoy has been sent among the nations. In other words, God is stirring up the nations to rise up against Edom for battle. Do you see how significant this is? How important this is? That what is happening in the Middle East, this campaign against radical Islam, regardless of whatever political reasons and motivations may be behind it, is actually God stirring up the nations to accomplish his purposes. And I believe that as we watch carefully and observe closely what is going to happen in the coming months and years, we're going to be astonished at what God will be doing in the Middle East, the significance of these prophecies against Edom, as expressed in the book of Obadiah and Ezekiel and other places as well, has great ramifications on our understanding of end time prophecy. If the book of Obadiah is describing an end times campaign against Edom, as we understand it, we see what the outcome will be. At the very end of the book, it says, "The kingdom will be the Lord's." The Temple Mount, as we know, will be the place where the King of Israel will rule when he comes back in his glory. At that time, they will call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations will be gathered to it, to Jerusalem, for the name of the Lord. This is what Jeremiah tells us. Obadiah describes the Lord's battle against the religious and political entities that are trying to stop this from happening. It appears that God in his sovereign plan is going to use the nations of the world to rise up against Edom. The radical Islamists will not succeed in their plans. In fact, they will be greatly humiliated by the Lord. This should be a proof to them once and for all that their fictitious God Allah is nothing at all, that he cannot stand against the God of Israel.